1 week down, 5 spring training weeks to go. Welcome to the Braves Report from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the podcast that takes you inside the clubhouse and gives you the stories behind the score. From Northport, Florida, and Cool Today Park, I'm Jay Black with our AJC Braves beat reporter Justin Toscano, and back here at spring training for another day. And is it bad that I'm already ready to start seeing some real ball out there?
No, I mean, those first 2 weeks of spring training, partner, I mean, they're good. Not a cloud in the sky. There were more today. Weather's always nice, but we just want to get to the games. And that's so now the allure of pitchers and catchers has kind of worn off a little bit. Get us to the games.
Got one more week before we do start playing some ball down here in Florida. But coming up, we'll talk about what we did see on this Sunday, including why the new guy may already be living up to the hype. Plus, we'll hear from Vaughn Grissom as he gets ready to show off what he's learned at shortstop. Do the Braves need a new clubhouse leader? And speaking of the clubhouse, new reliever Nick Anderson will join us for our clubhouse conversation. Finally, we will answer your questions in the Ask Justin segment. This is your first time listening to us. Welcome aboard, and make sure you follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. This is the Braves Report from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over 4 decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
All right, now for those of you that missed it this weekend, if you're just checking into our regular Monday slot, Justin and I have been busy. We've had some special episodes out on Friday and Sunday, so go back and catch up on this feed. Yesterday, we discussed Michael Soroka's setback and Max Fried's arbitration situation, and also my potential fight at the Atlanta airport, which we've already got some responses. Some are calling it neurotic. Some are calling it a good airport rant. But we've got another hour of Braves talk for you to catch up on from the weekend.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, there's so much going on here at spring training. We want to get to the games, but we've got plenty of analysis, plenty of content. And as I understand it, you're here for a couple more days, so this isn't ending anytime soon.
I'm here for a couple more days, and we'll begin with what we saw on Sunday as we record this at about 2:30 in the afternoon. And, we'll let Brian Snicker sum up the arm on his new catcher. It is a weapon.
Yeah, it is. It was really good.
It's like... He gets a really good catchers, but he still stands out.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, no, that's pretty elite right there.
Justin, we were standing over by the Braves dugout when the catchers were working on the throws down to second, and there was some profanity used in our media gaggle. Holy blankety blankety when we saw Sean Murphy throw the ball down to second base.
Just for my mom, who always listens.
Justin.
Yep. I didn't follow any of the holies with any other words other than smokes. But no, it... Jay, I mean, I feel like so much of these first 2 weeks in spring training is trying to glean a little bit of what you can off of these workouts, right? They're just drills. These are professional baseball players. You can't tell a lot. But as you ooh and ah at the occasional, you know, Michael Harris putting one into the executive offices or, you know, off the executive offices here, off that baseball-proof glass, we were oohing and ahing at Sean Murphy. I mean, they were doing a drill here where they would catch a pitch, you know, and receive a pitch and then fire to one of the bases, you know, any respective base that the coach is at. That arm, I mean, not only that motion, that fluid motion to catch and kind of get up without any clipping or any hang, that arm, he's got a cannon, man. Like, that was, every throw was on a line and looked effortless.
Here's how I know somebody's really good. If I can tell, right? I'm not an elite scout. It's like, oh, wait a minute. That's how that's done.
Yeah, exactly. And I would say most of us are like that in this industry. We're not in the scouting industry, but I mean, for me, it was the bend on everybody else's throws, right? Like, some of those guys took a little bit to get up, or some of them skidded a little bit, or it wasn't super clean on the get up, or when they would shift their body to throw to any of the respective bases, or to, you know, kind of pop up to throw to second. His was always clean. I mean, it was effortless. I remember one video I took and posted. He's almost popping up, but he popped up before he even got the ball. And every one of his throws was on a line. There was no bend.
You can see that video on Justin's Twitter feed at
Justin C. Toscano.
And you can hear it here. And you know, we were also trying to measure his pop time. Between those two glove catches as a pop time. On that clip, it was 1.85 seconds, which is right around Murphy's average. And his average last year was tied for the second best in baseball.
Right behind JT Realmuto, a guy who, oh, by the way, you know, a few offseasons ago, got 5 years and $115 million. The Braves have a good one. We've been saying this. They targeted him because, you know, defense is his calling card. He's one of the best catchers on both sides of the chalk in the game. You don't know when these players are going to be available or when they're going to come around or be on the block, per se, as Alex Anthopoulos told us in that Zoom session after acquiring him. But the Braves got a good one. I mean, especially with the rule changes, this is everything we've been talking about. You're going to need better times to home, one, but a better defensive catcher, too, to really kind of tip the scales. And like I said, you can't glean much from these workouts and these drills that anybody from high schoolers to professionals will do. But it does give us a chance to have a little fun, bring in a little color. And like you said, when it's so much better than everybody else there, including the fellow big league catchers on the roster, it stands out.
Travis d'Arnaud, who's made a nice living and an all-star. But it's fascinating to me to watch the coaching that still goes on at this level, at this time. The conversations between Sal Fasano, Eddie Perez, there's a lot of catching knowledge there. Travis d'Arnaud and Sean Murphy, and then the minor league guys that are here. And, you know, this is my first time at spring training, so this is all new to me. I spent some time today wandering around, and I went over to the 8-pack, which is where they've got 8 pitching mounds set up behind the team's clubhouse and the executive offices in right field. And, you know, we mentioned earlier this week that the pitch clocks are here already. They had 3 of those set up over at the 8-pack. And even in a spring training bullpen session, you can feel the pace pick up a little bit.
Yeah, and they're going to really need to work on it from the jump. Brian Snitker has said that they're getting adjusted to it. You can see the 2 clocks, or the not 2, but as many as there are pitchers throwing there behind the fence, so they can work with that. Also, I know you saw them receiving some coaching from pitching coach Rick Kranitz on that, Spencer Strider and Max Fried. Guys will probably go faster than they think they will, so I don't think it'll be a huge adjustment. But we did hear something interesting yesterday from Brian Snitker, is that during Ian Anderson's live BP, he stepped off once, because you can step off to reset the timer. So for anybody out there, one of the little niche kind of details in this rule is that if the timer is about to hit 0, to avoid, you know, if you're a pitcher, to avoid issuing a ball, you can use one of your disengagements. You can step off and the timer resets. You only get 2 of those per at bat, but, you know, we saw him use one of those during then yesterday. So it's just all these little things that are just much more than throwing the ball within 15 to 18 seconds that we're going to have to pay attention to. And that's why they're working on it from the get-go, but we'll see it in games. They're going to start using it in games right from the jump.
As a total newbie here, you know, I'm not totally surprised to see this, but it does kind of stand out when you're walking around a big league camp, is there's a lot of tech surrounding those arms. There were 3 TrackMan devices set up behind the catchers over at the 8-pack, and there were 2 other devices behind the pitchers. I couldn't quite tell what that was. I assume one is a camera and something else to measure stuff, but there's a lot going on in February.
There's a ton. Yeah, it always gives you context on how much goes into this, goes into what we see on these fields, goes into the decisions from the front office. We use analytics as this blanket term, kind of this umbrella that everything that falls under it that's remotely a number is analytics. But there's so much data science in this day and age of baseball, with whether it be putting, you know, like Kevin Pillar mentioned to us, putting his video in there and his guy shows up as a little animated stick figure to show you how you move. Or with pitchers, it's release points. And we talked to Nick Anderson about this, you know, measuring release points and measuring this and that, and the carry on the ball. Everything's able to be measured. And the technology is really, you walk around here, especially those backfields, they're not only using it for the big league guys, but when the minor league guys come in, it's grown there too. And it's basically how much you want to invest into it. Some organizations are further along, more, you know, further ahead, more forward thinking with that than others. But I think everybody says the same thing. It's how you apply it. And the good ones who have the good analyst, the good data scientist, then, you know, everybody works with biomechanics these days. Everybody has data science. Everybody has analytics, different metrics. Not everybody applies them the same way, and there's a difference to be made in their gap there.
All right, time now for the roll call. And, you know, even Sean Murphy said that he's a little surprised at how many position players are already here.
Guys are very eager here, and I think that's just a sign of a good ball club. You know, guys are chomping at the bit to get going.
Who's missing?
To my eye, Marcell Ozuna is the biggest one. And we're doing this podcast on a Sunday. It'll be on your feeds Monday. Position players aren't due to report and take their physicals until Monday evening. And you don't even have to show up to the park. You can just say that you're in the area. You can call and say you're in Northport. You know, you're in Florida. You're here. You're going to be here. I haven't seen Marcell Ozuna. I haven't seen Jordan Luplow, though I've never covered Jordan Luplow. So that might be me not knowing his face around the facility if I've ever walked past him. Adani Echevarria, yeah. You mentioned that. But when we asked Brian Snitker today, he said that yesterday he counted 7 position players who were not here, but said a batch of them reported today, or, you know, we're here at the facility today. So perhaps we missed them during early clubhouse time, or maybe they got there after we were there. So I'm not expecting any issues, but, you know, I guess, and maybe this isn't such, you know, a bad thing because they're not due to report till tomorrow anyways, but if everybody's almost pretty, you know, pretty much here on the position player side, it does stand out if there are a couple who aren't.
It's a long camp. And even the workouts that are going on right now, you know, don't last all that long because we've got a long, long way to go before this really matters.
Yeah. Yeah. Five and a half more weeks. And that's, Jay, we think of Major League Baseball as being such a grind, and it is. Part of that is the construction of the spring training practice schedule. Now, Brian Snitker and his coaches, they've been together. This solid group has been together 3-4 years, good years now. And one thing that allows you to do is that when you formulate your practice schedule for spring training and your program for spring training, as they call it, everybody knows what they're doing. Coaches know what they're doing. Players know what to expect. Everybody kind of comes in and just accumulates to the environment, things like that. And one major thing they've emphasized is not keeping these guys out here all day. Brian Snitker said to us yesterday that there's only so much you can do as a baseball player in this sport to improve daily. You get in, you get your work, go enjoy time with your family, go to the beach, go get some dinner, go do whatever you want to do, work out after, whatever. But there's only so much you can do in baseball to improve daily, and they don't want to cross that line and kind of burn guys out early.
Now, one guy who did make sure to get here early is Vaughn Grissom, and shortstop obviously is the Braves' biggest question mark this season, but Grissom certainly does not lack for confidence.
No, no pressure. I mean, at the end of the day, it is what it is. You know, if I fall on my face, I get back up, and you know, whatever happens, happens. I'm just going to keep playing.
And it's been well documented that he spent a lot of time with Ron Washington this offseason.
He can see when you take 1% off, or, you know, if you take something for granted, he just knows. So it's just, wow, he's in my head. There's, I think, one of the plays the other day. I was running to a ball, making a decision, and I ended up like getting it, or whatever. He goes, "So you were gonna go at that with 2 hands, but you went out with 1." I'm like, "You can't even. That's not even something you can see. Like, that was a decision. You know, I don't get it." Yeah, but he was in there with me, so yeah.
And here's Snit.
Yeah, that's where it's gonna be the key is the games. I mean, it's how you evaluate is games. So we'll just, you know, interested to see what it looks like.
Been doing a lot of talking about Vaughn Grissom this offseason, and talking season's almost over.
Yeah, we've got, what, 6 days to go by my count here as we sit here. As much as you can improve over an offseason, and I'm assuming, Jay, you can improve a lot if you spend 3 separate weeks with the guy, the infield guru in Major League Baseball, Ron Washington. Eventually, everybody knows what this turns into, right? It goes to the games. If Vaughn Grissom falls flat on his face, the Braves have a little bit of an issue. Maybe they play Orlando Arcia. Maybe they go out and sign a veteran shortstop, whatever. If he plays well, job's his. And I think it's kind of that simple. Everybody's waiting to see what he does in the games. And that's not to say that everything's going to be predicated on spring training. That's just to say that he's got to earn a job. He said that Brian Snicker, going back to the winter meetings, has acknowledged that, that he's got to lay eyes on the situation. He's got to see how it is. He's got to see how Grissom looks at shortstop. You can't just anoint him. The Braves have also, you know, Alex Anthopoulos has also stopped short of kind of crowning Grissom with that spot, you know, saying that they have Orlando Arcia. You got to keep the job. But all signs point to him being the starting shortstop. It's just a matter of not completely bombing this test in spring training. And you can't tell much until you get to those games.
And we've gotten a few questions about this for the Ask Justin segment, so we'll deal with it here now. Since the first full squad workout's not until Tuesday, we have not seen much of the infielders do anything.
Yeah, no, and I think they've been working on a field with Wash like in the morning, but it hasn't been the degree of infield work that we usually see like in the main field, in the main stadium. Guys taking ground balls. Grissom was out there working today. With Ron Washington and I think it was Eric Young Sr. But otherwise, I mean, we haven't seen a ton. And that's just because it hasn't been in organized fashion.
Yep. All right, coming up, we'll talk leadership and our second clubhouse conversation of spring training. This is the Braves Report from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
When you're looking for leading cardiac treatment, look to Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with 5 emergency cardiac care centers, so we're here when you need us most. We lead with more than 55 locations in Georgia. That means we're always in the heart of your neighborhood. We lead with clarity, because clear direction is better when it comes to understanding every step of your treatment. Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with heart.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
Quick reminder that if you're not a subscriber to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, you are missing out on a ton of Braves content that we've already put in the bag, and we've got more to add this spring training. Our columnist Michael Cunningham is on the way down here. We've got terrific photos that we've been taking all weekend long, which you can access only if you're a subscriber to the AJC. You can get all of our stories on AJC.com, our Braves Report newsletter sent right to your email. You've also got Bradley's Buzz from legendary columnist Mark Bradley as well, plus our terrific layouts in the e-paper. You get all that, and you get a special deal, too, 99 cents for the next 6 months. So we're basically giving it away. To get access to that, go to subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. That is subscribe.ajc.com/podcast, so you always really know what's going on. And, you know, Justin, you warned me about the sunscreen situation here, and it is no joke. I spent maybe an hour out on the field, and my pale skin is starting to bake, and you blister a little. It's hot.
Yeah, no, that's why when we were watching Sean Murphy, that's why I told you. I mean, I guess it's gross, but I think I was had a little skin peeling on my neck, and I'm tan. So, I mean, it got to me that first day, and I was wearing this quarter zip, a polo. It sneaks in somehow. It's just hot. It just beats down on you. That's all there is to it. It's thick. It's hot. The sun beats down on you here. It's unforgiving. And I think you mentioned this yesterday. I'm looking out there right now. You got a tough task if you're trying to find shade here.
The palm trees are not pine trees, man. It's there is nowhere to hide. So just be forewarned, if you're coming out to catch some spring training ball in the next few weeks, bring your suntan lotion because you will bake. But the Braves, they have lost their last two unofficial captains in Freddie Freeman and Dansby Swanson. So it's been asked quite a bit this week, who's going to take over to police the clubhouse? Who's going to be the leader? Here's Matt Olson.
I mean, I think it's just – everybody's going to police everybody. You know, I don't think, you know, Dansby's awesome. You know, a great presence in the clubhouse, but, you know, he's one of many in here, and he's not going to be around, so we're going to have to, you know, adjust a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be an issue. You know, we got a lot of guys who have been around for a while between Travis and Charlie and, you know, a few other guys, a ton of vets. So we'll be good. Ton of leaders on this team, and that's a good thing. When everybody's out here doing the right thing, you really don't have to step in and say too much. And really the only time you need that is when a young guy was stepping out of line or whatever it would be. And our young guys aren't doing that. So it'll be a group effort, as I feel like it normally is, and we'll be good.
Is this important, or is this just one of those things we talk about in February because we're bored?
its importance is revealed during the first tough spurt of the season, or the second tough spurt of the season, the worst stretch of the season. It's definitely important to the point where you have the team's GM admitting on record time and again that in Toronto, he cared more maybe about the back of the baseball card instead of the chemistry part of it. But it's more cumulative than we like to think with this group, or than I guess than the narrative would suggest, right? So you take out Freddie Freeman. Man, what are the Braves going to do? How are they going to, you know, are they going to collapse when things get tough? Well, did Dansby Swanson now, and Travis d'Arnaud and Max Fried and Charlie Morton. Well, you take out Dansby Swanson. Oh, man, like what happens? There's nobody to keep these guys in line. He set the standard. He, you know, is what a consummate professional should be. All this stuff. That's true. But you've got Max Fried. You've got Travis d'Arnaud. You've got Charlie Morton. You've got Matt Olson. You've got Austin Riley. You've got Ozzie Albies. There are so many established major leaguers on this club, guys with, you know, by all accounts, good makeup, that I think they're going to be fine. So the narrative itself is a little overblown that the sheriff is gone and now the Braves are just going to crumble anytime something bad or something difficult happens, anytime they reach adversity. But it's something. I mean, every year in baseball, we see that team on paper that doesn't reach expectations. I mean, a lot of that is clubhouse stuff. That matters. That truly matters, and anybody will tell you that. But I do... And it's tough from only the hour we're in there every day, but I do get the sense that this clubhouse is actually a very positive environment. It's not just, I've been around it where it's just talk, not, you know, not hear other places and sports where it's just talk. And, you know, so it's tough to say for sure, you know, when the cameras and the microphones are on, but this one I think is genuinely very positive, and I think they're going to be fine.
All right, speaking of the clubhouse, one thing we're going to try to do with this podcast is, you know, Justin gets access in there for an hour every day and bring you some of the clubhouse conversations that he has to try to bring you a little more depth and a little more background on the players we talk about every day. And today we had a chance to spend some time with Nick Anderson. The Braves picked him up after he was waived by Tampa Bay. And, you know, the big question for him is he healthy? And can he be the guy that he was a couple of seasons ago, one of the more dominant relievers in baseball?
How confident are you that being 100% you can get back to that guy, you know, we saw you be a few years ago?
You know, something that I really kind of had to work on this offseason was just relaxing and not necessarily trying to get back to that guy.
Sure.
Trying to chase, you know, who you were before or how things felt before. It kind of can lead you down a not necessarily the best path, which I was trying to do last year, you know. Come back, ball's not, like, you know, with the numbers, like, no carry, just, like, trying to get velo up, and just trying to think back. I'm like, well, what I used to do, this is how I used to feel. And, you know, every year we get older, our bodies change, so trying to not look back at how I used to be or how I used to feel or watching video or anything and just feeling normal, just going and playing catch and throwing the ball and getting on the mound and feeling normal. And I mean, ultimately, I think we've all been doing this long enough that our bodies kind of go through the path that they go through with throwing. So I think just kind of relaxing and not thinking about it too much. And eventually, I'm, you know, I hope, but I think just going out there and feeling normal and, you know, I'll eventually get back there. So I don't like to get too excited. Things have been feeling pretty good. So I think we're on a good path for sure.
If there was a point last year that maybe that clicked for you, that you couldn't really chase the past a little bit, what was that? When did you finally start to realize, like, hey, I've just got to look forward and just got to kind of be a new normal?
Yeah, probably this offseason after being done with the year last year. And then I was trying everything possible last year to get myself kind of back. Yeah, I just took some time off after the year, really, and just kind of let everything kind of calm down. And just throwing bullpens to my buddy this offseason and playing catch with him. And I don't know, it was just him and I. We weren't, there were no eyes on me, nothing. Just kind of got back to my old routine that I used to do. So I think that was key for sure.
Why was getting back to your, how did that help you?
That's what I used to always do.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what worked. That's what worked for me before. No, before I was always, I'd go back to Minnesota in the off season and just kind of do my own thing, work out on my own, and just play catch with a buddy and kind of, you know, just go back and relax, get away. So that's why probably June or July last year, I was like, I need to go back and just get back and just do what I used to do, because it's kind of like, it's one of those sayings, it's like, well, if it's not broke, why try to fix it, you know? And that's what always worked. So
right, what are you mentioned trying everything last year. I mean, how frustrating can that be when you're like, you know, you're exhausting every avenue, and it's like you know you're trying your hardest, but it's like nothing seems to kind of like feel click.
I'll keep that answer pretty short. It makes baseball not really fun. It makes it not fun. It makes you not really want to be there.
Yeah. How'd you come to peace with the fact that you took almost a year rehabbing it before getting the procedure? Like, you mentioned being frustrated with that. How'd you come to peace with it?
I don't know. I kind of flushed the door pretty quick. So flush the toilet, not door. Shut the door, flush the toilet. But I do that pretty quick. So I don't know. It's one of my qualities, I guess. I think probably most of the relievers here probably have that ability. You know, you have to. I mean, you go out one day, you don't do good, and it's a good probability you're going to be out there the next day. So yeah, it's just kind of accepting. And I think too, once you have surgery, it's kind of like, well, I have surgery now, like, you know, why dwell on the past? It's not going to do anything for you.
Right. Has the team told you when they signed you about how they see your role on this team or your chances, you know, to make it?
I'm not even thinking about that. I'm just going out trying to get my stuff locked back in and have fun and just kind of however the dust settles, really. I'm not really worried about that. I just want to feel like I could play again and have fun and be around the guys and do whatever I can to help the team. So however that shakes out, it shakes out.
So you kind of just hope, you know, this year to get back to having that fun playing the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think I'm on my way. I think I'm on my way for sure.
You got to be part of some special bullpens in Tampa. What do you think of the group you're with now?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of funny. I just like to play and be around the guys. And so it was a couple weeks ago, like getting ready, kind of getting everything together back in Minnesota to head down here. I was like, I should look to see who's all like on the staff. And I looked, I was like, damn, we got arms. So it's exciting. It definitely is. I'm excited to see how this all plays out.
What about the team as a whole? I mean, you've been on winning teams, and coming to this one is a good chance to win and be on another one.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the history here, so that's why I was super happy. It's when I accepted or elected free agency, and Braves called right away, and it's like, heck yeah. You know, who wouldn't want to play here? fan base, just everything.
The thing that stood out to me there was, you know, him admitting he's not going to chase the guy he used to be.
Yeah, because that's the main question that every one of the people in his position has to face. So a little background, because we had a question on it in there. Nick Anderson had what is called a UCL brace procedure. And that is, in effect, we'll start with the fact that he had a torn UCL, which usually necessitates Tommy John surgery. He decided to get a repair of that instead of a full reconstruction. The reconstruction would be Tommy John surgery. The repair, the brace procedure, basically allows you to, you know, you don't reconstruct it, but you repair it enough where you can pitch again. And the big thing there is the recovery's faster. You get back sooner. And before he had even elected that procedure, he felt like he just wasted a year. He was trying to rehab it. Well, it was UCL tear, and he had to get the procedure. And so the question that all those guys face is, are you going to be back to your pre-injury form? That is at the crux of that because they're almost at a career crossroads when they get a procedure like that or anything, you know, involving the UCL. And with him, it was really interesting to say that he tried to chase it last year. He tried, you know, his velo wasn't great. He's trying to watch video. He's trying to do this, that, and the other thing, trying every little thing to evaluate, well, how did he used to feel for me? How did I used to do this? What did I used to do? Why did I used to do it? How did I look when I did it? And he threw all that out and just said, man, I've got to just got to feel normal. Just got to feel normal. Just got to have fun. Simplify it. And if, you know, obviously he wants to be elite again, but I think he knows full on well, as he said in that interview we just played, that he's not going to be able to do that by replicating the past. It's impossible.
All right, we're going to wrap things up here with the Ask Justin segment, where we answer Braves fans' questions on Twitter at
Justin C. Toscano.
All right, first up from Wes Tanner. Thoughts about Elvis Andrews being the Braves' super utility guy / safety net for multiple positions?
Sure. I mean, I could see it, I guess, because he's a veteran still on the market. I just think, as I think we've said on this podcast before, if they didn't believe in Grissom, I think they would have done something about it already. He's still on the market, though. You said super utility. I mean, I guess it could work. I don't know that they have a huge need for it on this roster.
From Nick Hotzelt, what's the back half of the bullpen expected to look like?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, man, it's going to be the best, in, you know, if not one of the best in baseball. They will have, you know, one of the best bullpens in baseball, especially at that back end. Minter, 7th. Jimenez, 8th, Raisel Iglesias, 9th, is I think how it plays out in my mind. And if you need a power arm in the 7th, you put Jimenez in the 7th and save Minter for the 8th. I think those two can be interchangeable, but stuff-wise, if everything kind of goes to chalk, Jimenez in the 8th and Iglesias in the 9th is pretty good.
Yeah, and A.J. Minter didn't have a bad year last year at all and is your top lefty out of the bullpen now with Matzik being down.
That'll play.
Yep. From Wilson Ruark, you're over-under on Michael Soroka making 5 starts for the Braves this season.
Ooh, I'm gonna go over. I think it's over 5. Yeah, I think it's over 5. I mean, I think the Braves get, even if he doesn't win the job, the Braves get enough of these guys extra days here and there and spot starts that with the options. I mean, I see him contribute. Like Bryce Elder made more than 5 starts last year. So yep. I think, you know, it's that's only one minor injury to a guy, God willing, you know, we knock on wood, we don't want that to happen. But I think that's a low threshold that, barring any significant injury, I think he can hit that.
If he makes 5 starts, that's going to be a win for Michael Soroka, right?
Yeah, you have to think so because he's on the comeback trail. He wants, you know, of course he wants more this year. He wants that 5th spot. He wants to be a part of this full time. But I mean, man, after not having pitched since 2020, yeah, that's, you go back to establishing yourself a little bit. And I think that's got to be a win.
All right. We got a few more questions that we will save for another one of our podcasts coming up later in the week. But let's go ahead and do our Monday staple winner of the week. First week of spring training. You first.
I'm going to go with the staff here at Cool Today Park and the first responders, the rescue crews, the firefighters, law enforcement, everybody who came together during Hurricane Ian. Because this place was in rubble. The fences were knocked down. Trees were not where they were supposed to be. Signage was destroyed, and everybody made this happen. They worked 7 days a week, 20 hours a day for the first couple months, and they got this place looking really, really, really good to the point where you can't tell anything happened. They deserve a lot of credit for that. It looks great.
That's a very good answer. Can I nominate myself for winner of the week? I survived TSA.
No, well, that was yesterday's segment. Do another. You had time to think about this one.
I think it's Sean Murphy just blowing us all away. He's clearly in control of what he's going to have to be in control of with this pitching staff and his defense.
There you go. There you go. That was a nice little recovery. That certainly better than you for fighting TSA.
Well, was it a fight? Because that's a fight nobody wins.
No, TSA's, you know, TSA and Father Time are shaking hands because they're both undefeated.
Yep. If you want more about that, if you missed it, go back on this feed. We got a couple of shows that we did over the weekend, one on Friday and one on Sunday. So plenty of Braves talk here as we start ramping up for spring training. And we will continue to release shows throughout the week as we continue our coverage here at Cool Today Park.
Stick with us. Subscribe. Like these shows. Listen to them. Add us to your feed. We're only getting started.
Yep, tell your friends, tell your enemies, we'll be here for you. And that's the Braves Report from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
When you're looking for leading cardiac treatment, look to Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with 5 emergency cardiac care centers, so we're here when you need us most. We lead with more than 55 locations in Georgia. That means we're always in the heart of your neighborhood. We lead with clarity, because clear direction is better when it comes to understanding every step of your treatment. Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with heart.
I'm Ernie Suggs, race and culture reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
And I'm Ned Ravone, lifestyle columnist. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. I've been living here for 24 years, and I am still amazed at how rich the city's Black culture continues to grow. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
Like historically Black colleges and universities.
Atlanta's thriving arts scene.
And the city's growing neighborhoods.
Wherever you live, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what issues are important to you.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
Only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.